Many of us ask questions for a living.
In a way, did she kind of see this bubble coming?
Who's in charge? I mean, who answers the phone? You know, what is
how secure is that legislation? I mean, could it change with a new
government? The Here and Now host triad. But here's a question. Should we all journalists, be asking more dumb questions? Yes, this seems a little navel-gazing, but maybe what journalists can learn about questions everyone can use? Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us by Skype. And Derek, if I've got this right, you thought you used to have to ask smart questions even about something you knew nothing about?
That's right. And I think it's probably worth defining what I consider to be a capital S, capital Q, smart question. I think of a smart question as a question that's designed to advertise or show off the wisdom of the person asking the question. And this is something that I think we do all the time. I say we as in journalists, I say we as in human beings. We want the person that we're talking to think that we're smart, that we have an equal seat at the table so that they can answer the questions that we put to them and have faith in us and respect us. And I always thought it was wonderful to hear back when I ask a question, when the person says, oh, that's a smart question, or that's a really smart question. But over time, I realized that this strategy of asking questions was all about me. It was all about me feeling better, me feeling smarter. It wasn't about getting the best answer. And so I wrote this article about my own journey in learning to love dumb questions.
Okay. Define a dumb question.
Well, a dumb question I would define is just the opposite of a smart question. If a smart question is designed to advertise the wisdom of the asker, a dumb question is a question that isn't interested at all in demonstrating how smart you are. A dumb question can be something like, can you explain this to me like I barely know anything about the subject? Or what, if anything, is actually interesting about this story? Or one of my favorites is there some angle or question here that I'm not seeing or haven't even asked you yet? Where I'm basically asking the person on the other end of the interview, hey, can you actually like do my job for me? That's a very dumb question because that makes it seem explicitly like I can't do my job. But in fact, I find in the long run, it's a great way to get great answers.
Well, and smart questions, as you give an example, can often blow up on you because if the person actually believes you, which they probably don't, that you are on the same footing as, let's say, that nuclear physicist, then they answer you in their language and you don't get anything because you don't understand it.
Yeah, exactly right. Like if I'm trying to seem really smart about labor economics and I say to some economist, well, you know, the BLS had U3 at 3.5 and U6 at 6.5, but where do you think reality is really going to go on a 3-month trailing basis? They're going to talk to me like a robot because I've talked to them like a robot. But if instead I ask a question that's a little bit dumber, like, what do you think is the labor market angle? What is the job story that no one's seeing? That's an interesting, that's a dumb question. It doesn't reveal any intelligence on my behalf. What's a job story that no one's talking about? Yeah. Well, that's actually much more likely to get a smart answer because it doesn't make it seem like this is a conversation among people who talk exclusively in corporatese acronyms.
Okay, Derek, I have to say when I was first assigned this segment, I thought for sure it was an intervention. This is an intervention, isn't it? Because I tend to ask these front-loaded questions, not because, you know, I don't want to look stupid. That happens plenty of times anyway. But because I want to get past the expositional part of an answer. Mm. You know, the, well, I was born in a small town and when I was two. You know, I want to get right to the meat of an answer. And this is more, you know, on-air interviewing than, let's say, research. But I want to get to, you know, I was taken by aliens when I was 30. I want to get to that meat. And, you know, and also you can't always act as if you don't know something about something when you do know something about something and when you have 4 minutes. So, you know, it isn't always just about trying to impress, right? It's trying to get information across.
It's a very, very good point. There's a huge difference between, you know, I write for The Atlantic as a pure writer, and then I have a podcast called Plain English. And these are very different interview tactics because when I'm a writer, all I want is one great quote. That's possibly all I can get from that interview. So I'm really interested in the person that I'm talking to sort of give me the best questions. But when I'm recording a podcast, recording a segment, I'm going to have to use most of that audio. So I'm really trying to set them up to succeed. So there's a lot of times I think when asking a great question for radio, is almost like an alley-oop in basketball. You are really trying to set up the basketball in a perfect spot for them to dunk it. And that is not necessarily what a lot of interviews for written articles are like. Those are about, I'm looking for a great piece of insight, and I'm willing to take 45 minutes to find that one sentence.
And I could see this applying to, you know, everyone in, you know, in general. If you really, really need help with something, whether it's, you know, your plumbing or your car, it's okay to say, you know, I'm not sure. Tell me, explain this to me. But Derek, this was your topic. Any angle that I've left out? Anything that I've overlooked?
No, I think you've done a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you. Makes me feel so good about myself. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. He hosts the podcast Plain English. We'll link you up to his Asking Good Questions. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.